Hey everyone, welcome back to Broken to Barbell. This is Tanner as always.
And this is Carly.
And Sam is not with us today because she had a baby. Yay!
Congrats, Sam.
Yay, Sam. And Scott. And Scott. Our main
and
candy.
Scott.
And not the Scott that was main candy Monday. Her husband, Scott.
Different Scott, but also shout out to Scott Stegman.
Yes, shout out to Scott Stegman just because.
And also a big shout out to Canon Paul Lutz, who is the new baby.
Yes,
and the newest member of...
How big was he? He was 8 pounds?
8 pounds, yeah, even.
And 20 inches long, am I remembering correctly?
20 and a half inches, maybe?
Sam can correct us if
yes.
we're wrong, but...
That's just off memory.
Yeah, so he is a little nug. He's real cute. Sam posted him on our Instagram page. We'll link to that in the show notes. And you guys can see a picture of him. He's very cute. V-cute.
He is very cute. He has lots of hair.
Yeah. Oh, a ton of hair. And what was his birthday? It was the 26th?
Yeah, he came one day early.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, she was ready, too.
Yeah.
So she's like, get him out.
Hopefully going to meet him today after
then,
we're done here.
Yeah, yes, yes. And another good milestone, Carly, you competed in your meet.
Yes.
You now have a total.
Yes, can now officially call myself a power lifter because I competed in a meet last Saturday. And Tanner so graciously drove 4.5 hours out to film my lifts and support me. And he wasn't even out there for 24 hours. So shout out to Tanner for being a really great friend.
It was fun. It was a ton of fun to see. Because it's one of those things, like, you think you're just going to sit in this room and be bored all day watching people pick stuff up. But then you got all these, to me, it was like, the guys were cool to see. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah.
But then you get all these girls up there, and it's like, oh, they're lifting 350 pounds.
I'm yeah.
like, oh, my God. And, like, just me personally at the gym, I think I've said all I ever lifted was 325, like, one time in my life.
Yeah. Like,
never actually... And of course, never competitively. So
yeah. So like whenever I was doing CrossFit, I was really into heavy deadlifts. Like that was my thing. Like because I was good at it. And of course, everyone kind of rotate like moves towards whatever they're good at because they want to just highlight their strengths. And I couldn't figure out why my weight wasn't going up. And it until I joined
your lifts or your
lifts,
personal weight. Okay.
My lifts, obviously not my body weight. But I couldn't figure out why my lifts weren't going up. And it really took me joining a powerlifting gym, joining Sally's Fitness, and like hiring Ryan as a personal trainer to focus on my weak spots. So like my deadlift was never going to get better if I didn't focus on it, work on it every single week and work on back exercises and strengthen my back. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Like that's why that keeps growing and why all my lifts keep growing. Because I'm focusing only on those lifts, you know, like I'm focusing on different body parts that need to be strong to make those lifts go up.
The in-between muscles.
Yeah. So like in CrossFit, I was like so discouraged because I couldn't get past 285, but I wasn't working on anything to build that up.
No support structure, basically.
Yeah. So at my meet, I was absolutely terrified for that first squat. I was shaking, like it was super nerve wracking, like. Because you're up on stage in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, they tell you to like, don't look at anyone. Don't focus on anyone. But it's tough because you're up there in front of everyone. Everyone's filming. Like on all my lifts, I could see like phones.
Me standing. Also, your mom was front and center.
Yes.
So I'm sure that didn't help at all.
Yeah. So I could like see everyone's phones like recording me. And so like I was super nervous just to get through that first squat. But the minute I got through that one, everything kind of... Kind of clicked.
You got through it and the lights lit up and like literally your face, you just smiled. I was like,
yeah.
She got this.
Yeah, I was so nervous. So on squats, I went 2 for 3. I missed my third attempt. I jumped my third attempt. So first attempt was 242.5. Second attempt was 270.1, which was a PR. And then I could have either done 281.1 or 286.6. And I was like on cloud nine. So I'm like, let's go for 286.6. And then I failed.
was
which
that the
is
one
fine.
Of the guy... To me, that guy picked it up real quick.
Yeah, but I could feel... So I was talking to Ryan about this yesterday.
Were you looking at the video
too? I have
this
problem where when I unrack it, I roll the bar up my back. So I could feel my body crunching in half. And like there was like... it was to a point of no return. Like, I knew I wasn't going to stand it up, even if he wouldn't have grabbed it. So I'm glad they did. The spotters did grab it.
Yeah.
Because I could just feel my body, like, crunching. And I knew, like, once you get your chest down, it's impossible to stand it up. Because it's, like, almost 300 pounds on your back.
You lost all that weight.
Yeah.
That
so all the muscle. It should have been on, if I would have sat further back, the weight would have been on my, like my hips and what. I could have just stood it up, but it was all
on your back,
on my back and chest. So it was just, there was no coming back.
Okay.
And then my bench, which is weak as all hell, as we all know, opened with 99.2. My second attempt was 110, which was a PR. And then, my third attempt I failed, which was 115.7. So I have a lot of work to do on my bench, but I'm going to hopefully build that up. And then, deadlifts, obviously my favorite, which I was just talking about this last week. When I joined Selly's, I just wanted to hit a 300-pound deadlift. I was like, I'm going to get 300 pounds. Like, I want to hit that barrier. Like, I want to join the 300 club. Ryan was like, you need to calm down. Like, you're beyond that. So, let's just calm down about the 300.
Yeah.
So, I think 3 months after I joined, he let me go heavy. So, that would have been, June? And I got the 315 deadlift like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, maybe I am really beyond this. Like, I need to just, just like bump it up or whatever. So, on January 1st, I was training on my own for a while, for financial reasons. And like, Ryan doesn't like us to max out in the gym, you know, cause like save that for the platform, max out PR at a meet.
Yeah.
And of course I was like, well, you know, I feel good and I'm going to max out in the gym. So on January 1st, I deadlifted 385, but it was ugly. It was very ugly. Like I was like hitching it, which is totally not allowed in a meet. And it was really ugly. And I was seeing stars and the form was all messed up. So I don't really technically count that as a gym PR because it was so ugly. So in the meet, I opened with 341.7 and it was like super easy. It was like nothing. And then my second attempt was 385.8, and that was also, like, nothing. And so all I wanted to do was get to that 400-pound deadlift, right?
Yeah. What was it, 402?
402.3. So, honestly, this is funny, but all I could think of, like, walking up to the platform when they were like, platform's ready. So I, like, broke my ammonia capsule and, like, mm-hmm. smelled the ammonia. And, like,
smelled the flowers.
Yeah, like, my senses were heightened and whatnot. And all I could think of was, I think there's like this quote from the TV show Friday Night Lights, like something like, I don't know if it's like fool hearts can't lose or something, like basically like that chest up, eyes up, head up, whatever.
Yeah.
Some like mantra. I obviously can't remember it right now, but that's all I could think of. I'm like, just do this. Like, just do this. Like, get up there and just fucking do it.
Yeah.
So I walk up to the platform, like all eyes on me. I'm the last girl deadlifter. Like, this was the last girl on the flight. I finally got my chance at that 402. And like, there was a chance that I wasn't even going to stand it up, you know, like, but in my head, I'm like, let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
So I get up there, I'm doing this weird Edward Scissorhands thing with my hands, like just getting prepared and, bend down, rock back, stood it the whole way up. And I thought I got it. Like, so like, I'm like smiling at the top. Like, I'm like all pumped. Set it down.
I thought you got it. I mean, just watching it and I don't know anything about it. I thought you got it. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
You probably hear me in the video going like, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Everyone was like clapping, cheering. Then they're like, that's a bad lift. I'm like, damn it. So it was like instant tears. I was so upset for like a solid 10 minutes. I was crying. Because that's all I've been thinking about for like the last 6 months.
I was gonna say, yeah, forever.
Yeah, like I wanted to hit, so like once I got past that 300 club, I was like, all right, I want to hit that 400 club. But now so like the day of the meet, I'm like, you know what, I'm not gonna compete again right away until I went to the gym yesterday. Ryan's like, I think you should compete again, like you did really good. So so I signed up for another meet yesterday, so my next meet will be July,
a week break, 4 days.
Yeah. So I'll start another prep on Monday.
Oh my god.
And then my next, I'm not going to be as hard on myself this time around, though.
Were you, now, you mentioned that in a text the other day. Were you hard on yourself mentally, or how do you mean hard on yourself?
So, definitely mentally. Like, if I had a cheat meal, I would, like, beat myself up over it for a very mm-hmm. long time. Like, it's not that big of a deal, you know?
Yeah.
So, baby steps in the right direction. I'm just going to try to be fluid this time around and just focus on my training and not be so hard on myself when it comes to the diet.
I see. That's going to that meet and watching you guys and stuff kind of, I think I've been in such a funk, and I think I talked about it the last podcast, maybe even the one before that, but just seeing everybody up there who's just kind of into it and like in their zone and in their sport mm-hmm. was like very inspirational. And just, it's like, okay, I need to just like kind of suck it up, like yeah. reel my bullshit back in and just go. And I've honestly had a really hard time doing that the yeah. past few months. I'm sure winter had something.
Oh yeah.
Didn't
seasonal
help.
Depression.
Yeah. And so I downloaded a meal plan from the internet. It's called HD Abs. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to put that up on the blog and just talk about doing it and what I'm doing. But in the same vein, I don't want to beat myself up over it.
Yeah.
So, of course, I've already, quote unquote, fallen off the bandwagon. And, I mean, it's Easter weekend, so that's...
Yeah.
I'm going to have some ham. Yeah. But, like, I want to just be better at preparing some of those meals for myself and eating the amount I'm supposed to. And it's going to save me a ton of money, too, just because of how much money costs when you buy food. But, yeah. So, I'm going to put that... Do, like, a few blogs about that and just try to... Because, I mean, you were doing that meal prep for so long, too, like 3 months.
Yeah, so technically I've been doing the meal plan since last May.
Yeah.
But I really fell off over the summer. I was just like, well, I'm not competing. And then like when I didn't register for that December meet in time, I was like, well, I can just eat as much pizza as I want.
Yeah.
But I really couldn't. But then I really dialed it in December.
Because then you knew March was coming, so.
Yeah.
This little ab thing is only for a month, 4 weeks. And Corey and I actually are going to go to Key West on a vacation, like, at the beginning of the summer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, now I have my meet.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. Definitely. A.K.A. judgmental gay guys in Key West. So it's like, okay, I have something to aim for. Mm-hmm. My whole thing is, too, just because I'm self-conscious about my body and everyone's kind of struggle. But it's like, okay, if I do this and I do well, you know, just keep at it, I'm not allowed to feel guilt or bad about my body or anything when I'm on my vacation.
Oh, like
it's
yeah.
my own personal rule to myself. Do well now so I can just let it go later.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, so like even at the meet and why I was so hard on myself, I think, so I was in the super heavyweight division, which is anything above 198 pounds. And like I wrote a blog about this and said like I haven't been under 200 pounds since I think I was a freshman in college. Like, it's been a really long time since I weighed under 200 pounds. So I was really worried about, like, people seeing my weight up on the board at the meet. Like, that was, like, one of the biggest...
They had your body weight on the board?
Yeah.
I didn't even see it,
so
honestly.
Yeah, so you'd probably have to look for it, and it was probably in kilograms. But, like, in my head, I'm, like, thinking, like, someone's going to take what my body weight is in kilograms and convert it to pounds and they're going to know how much I weigh. And I was like so worried about that for the longest time. And I think that's why I was so hard on myself with the diet. Cause I was like thinking like, instead of thinking like, wow, you're lifting these heavy weights. I was like, wow, my weight's going to be up on the board for everyone to see. You know what I mean? Like, so it was just a big like mental thing for me.
It's like a roadblock almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, who gives a shit how much I weigh? You know, it's just like, I wish I didn't care as much as I do, but I do. And
yeah.
like Ryan and Dana try to get me to like not think about it, like, but it'll always be in the forefront.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's in this too. I'm not weighing myself until after vacation.
So I did that.
I'm going to keep up with this meal plan. Be good.
Yeah.
Fuck my weight.
Well, I did that in December. My weight was going up. So I thought it was going down because I felt better. I looked better.
Well,
but it was going up, so I'm like...
yeah, that's you. I mean, when you're lifting that kind of weight, though, think about the kind of muscle you're putting on
yeah.
and then the fat that's coming off.
And I was eating so much. Like, I essentially was bulking, I think.
Well, did you see some of those guys?
Okay, so...
Here we go. We'll come back to that.
We'll come back to this.
Our interview subject's calling in.
Yeah, Ivy's calling. Hi, Ivy.
Hi, is Carly?
Yes. How are you? Okay. Are we good with sound? Can you
yeah,
hear?
Yeah,
okay,
I can
cool.
hear Ivy.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay, hello?
Hey, Ivy. So I'm here with Tanner. He is one of my co-hosts, and Sam isn't here today because she just had a baby on Monday. So So two of the three are here.
Okay, did you say Tanner or Canner?
Tanner with a T.
Okay.
Hi, Ivy.
Hi.
Okay, so you're calling in from Florida, correct?
Yep.
Awesome. So we are in Western Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah, just north of Pittsburgh. So
I used to live in Pennsylvania lived there from when I was like 2 to like 12.
Oh, wow. What part?
I lived in Bath, which is like the smallest town in the world. It's like 20, it's like actually like 15 minutes from like Allentown.
Oh, cool. Okay. My meet last weekend was in Allentown, so that's crazy. So we have the list of questions here, so we're just going to go down through. If you just want to give us a brief background on I guess where you grow up now that you said that you lived in Pennsylvania and how you got started in powerlifting.
So I started powerlifting. Kind of weird story. I used to go to the gym. My husband and I, when we were dating, going to the gym was kind of like our thing because it was free. And we were young. We were like 17, 18 years old when we started dating. So we used to go to the gym all the time. And then that kind of continued to happen. And then where we live in Port St. Lucie, they used to actually have a big meet. It was called RUM. And so...
Ooh.
We found out that it was actually being held in our area. So, you know, my husband is a researcher. So he started looking into it and he was like, that's so crazy. Like all of these like big powerlifters are here, blah, blah, blah. So he started getting into powerlifting and then I kind of was like, oh, I want to try that. Sounds fun. And I was like tired of doing cardio all the time. So yeah, I started squatting initially and that's like all I would do. I refused to do anything else. And
just squats?
I would just do squats. Yeah. Like I would do all like lower body stuff, but I would only squat. Like I refused to deadlift and I refused to bench press. I know. I don't know why. Cause now bench pressing is my favorite.
Aww.
And that was probably like 4 years ago now. And then, we kind of hopped around gyms for a while and we were on a powerlifting team, for a little bit. It didn't really work out. And now we own our own gym. So it kind of like, everything we did was organic. It just kind of fell into place.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So tell me a little bit about like how Girls Who Powerlift was born. Like did it start as a hashtag or?
Girls Who Powerlift was formed in July of 2015. And like I said, we were on a powerlifting team and those were really the girls in our area were the only girls that I knew that powerlifted.
Okay.
And then you would see like the greats, like Kimberly Walford and like, Bonica Lowe. And like, that was it. And, or like, I'm trying to think like Laura Phelps, like things like that. Like you would see like the top of the top.
Yeah.
And then, but I knew that there were like, at the time I couldn't compare to those people. So, we were actually walking around the grocery store and we were talking about it because we were so new to powerlifting. That's like, that's all you talk about. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about it and I was like, I wish there were more girls, you know, that I could see and stuff like that. And, so my husband was, his background at the time was in, social media marketing and he was working for, menswear brands. And so he was like obsessed with Instagram at the time. It was fairly new. And so he was like, you should just start your own page. And so we kind of were doing some research and names and stuff like that. And Girls Who Powerlift as a handle hadn't been taken. So we did it. And then I kind of just started like reposting my friends, but I had not told them that it was me. So they were like, oh my gosh, this group, like, what is this? And so they started looking at it. And Florida, South Florida especially, is kind of a mecca for powerlifting. Like we've got Tampa has a lot of powerlifting, and then like Miami has a lot of powerlifting. So we started to find more people in our area, and it kind of just organically grew from there. People started to like it and follow it, and then the more people followed it, the more people we had to repost, and it just started out to be a like a shout out kind of page. And then from there we kind of just started the hashtags and it just grew from there.
And so is Girls Who Powerlift, is that more of like, is it still a hobby today or is it like a big full-time job?
Well, no, right now, I mean, it's been my full-time job for a year and a half now, almost 2 years. In January 2016, we actually started doing our clothing line, and we just named it Girls of Powerlift. And it's kind of funny how that started, because, like I said, we started doing the hashtag, so we hashtagged Beach Gang. And I think at the, in the beginning,
what,
it was
what
like
was hash, it? Hashtag it was Beach?
Peach
Gang.
Peach Gang, yeah. So someone was like, I'm going to put that on a shirt. And then somebody else commented, no, you guys should put that on a shirt. So we were like, we should put that on a shirt. And so we, like I said, my husband had been working with menswear brands, so he kind of like knew the process already.
Kind of had
so,
the back door.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we reached out to some of our local printing companies, and we decided to, and it's so funny because it's like people still love that initial shirt, but it's so ugly. Like for me, I think it's so ugly. I'm like, we've come so far from that, and I'm like, people still ask for that original Peach Gang shirt. So since we became, since it started to be a clothing line, I decided to quit my job and start doing it full time, and that was like 2 years ago.
That's so cool. That's very interesting.
Awesome. So. What did you do before you quit and started doing this full time?
I had my degree. I've done a lot of things. I started out in the medical field. I was just kind of a receptionist. And then I got a job at a law firm, and I was a receptionist there. And then from there, I decided to go back to school, and I was a paralegal for 5 years.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I do. So that's crazy.
Oh, really?
I had no idea. We're like one and the same.
Yeah.
I'm still in the legal world, though. I work in-house now for a utility, so I'm still doing that work.
Yeah, I live in South Florida, so we did. There's like a million and one personal injury attorneys in here, so I worked for personal injury, and I mean, no offense, but I absolutely hated it. Like the minute I could stop, I was like, I'm done, I'm out.
That's awesome, though, that Girls Who Powerlift like has allowed you to go out and do that full time.
Yeah.
Cause like, as far as the whole apparel thing goes, like we're pretty new. We've had our podcast now for a year, and we did one just over a year, and we did one clothing order just for a raglan with our logo. And now we're currently in the middle of another pre-order for some more apparel. So like, we're just getting our feet wet in the apparel side.
Yeah.
We're just trying to cover podcast costs at this point. Yeah.
Because like, we really wanted to focus our podcast on like fitness and mental health and how the gym and lifting has like helped us physically and mentally. So we've been bringing on different people and interviewing them, and like, it's really catching on. Like, we're getting a lot of good feedback, and like, it's just cool to see how many people are interested in this sort of stuff. So we really really appreciate you coming on and talking about it.
Yeah,
no worries. And it's funny because like, we kind of started a clothing line too, just to be able to like travel, honestly, because we were like, we want to go to all of these meets. And so we're like, how do we like make money and still be able to do something that we love? So I'm all for it. So kudos to you guys. That's awesome.
So with your hashtag, I was just looking at it the other day, because like, I post power, like this last week I've posted like 12 posts from my meet. I can't stop posting about it, and I hashtag Girls Who Powerlift on everyone, and like, when you click on the hashtag, it shows you how many other people have hashtagged that, and you guys are almost at a million, like, or maybe you are at a million hashtags or a million posts with that hashtag, which is incredible that a million people have used your hashtag, you know what I mean?
Yeah, which is funny because we've never actually hashtagged Girls Who Powerlift.
That's awesome.
We don't use that hashtag. We kind of just like people use it just because, I don't know. I just think it's pretty cool.
It's a grassroots female-led weightlifting revolution.
Yeah. It really is like a community, though. Like,
it is.
And now Instagram gives you the opportunity to follow hashtags. So like, just last week, I think I followed Girls Who Powerlift. So. Yeah. The hashtag. I mean, I've been following you guys forever, but like, if you, and it, they just show up in your feed. So like, I'll see like all these really strong girls like lifting things, and it's just because I followed that hashtag. So that's cool.
Yeah,
it's another way to
that was like you said, the community. That was really the point of it, was because I mean, when I started powerlifting and when we started Girls Powerlift, there were, I mean, we'd go to a meet and it would be like 75% guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, you would see these girls and you're like, these girls are so awesome. It's funny because my husband, we love, like, literally love going to powerlifting meets. Like, even if we're not involved, like, we'll go to powerlifting meets just because I love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, I love watching girls powerlift. He's like, I love watching girls lift because they're so emotional about it. Like, you'll see a guy lift and he'll pick it up, put it down, walk away. Where, like, when a girl does it, you know, she's like screaming and crying and like dancing on the way up there. Like, and it's so much fun to watch a girl because they're so much more emotional than guys.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, putting all of that into one page, that was like, that was the point. Like, it was so that you can go to one place and get inspiration. So it's pretty cool that, you know, like you said, you can follow the hashtag now and like still get that inspiration.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just tell us a little bit about like what made you guys want to open your own gym. And it's called Iron Knight Gym, correct? Which that's,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Knight is your last name.
Yeah.
Is that where you came up with the name? Because I love that name. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it was actually my husband's Instagram handle for a little bit. It was Iron Knight.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, because his name's Corey, which is like a pretty basic name. So there are like 1,000 at Corey Knight. So he was like, I need something cool. So Iron Knight ended up being his Instagram handle for a while. And then we decided to open a gym because like I said, there's a good amount of powerlifters in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But every gym that we had gone to, like we were going to a commercial gym for a while, and then we joined a powerlifting team, which is actually lifting out of the community center in our area. But it was like a tiny little room, and we'd all have to share, like there was like 16 of us, and we were all sharing like one squat rack and two deadlift platforms, which is a lot. And I mean, we're both, I mean, I'm 32, my husband's 33, so we're like coming home from work. We had dogs, like we're like, I don't have time to be here for 4 hours. So
yeah.
Then we went back to a commercial gym, and then another gym had opened, like a smaller industrial kind of gym opened, and it closed down. And then so it just kept happening, like where we'd go to a new gym, we'd find it, we'd love it, and then something would happen and we'd have to go back to commercial gym. So my husband is a serial entrepreneur. He's had his own business like since he was 16. And he's one of those people that was just like born to hustle. That's just what he is. And so he's like, I'm going to open a gym. And I'm like, you're on crack. There's no way you're going to do that. And so he was like, no, I'm going to open a gym. And so he just did it. He started meeting with realtors, and we were actually looking for office space because I was working out of my home, but I had one employee that was helping me. And so we were looking for office space, and then we ended up, she showed us a space where and the space was huge. And I was like, it's way too big for girls powerlift. And he was like, yeah, but we could put a gym here. And I was like, oh my God, here we go again. We're talking about this gym. And so he ended up just staying in contact with this realtor. And then, the space that he initially wanted wasn't available. And then she called and she's like, hey, they're leaving and, you know, their lease is up. And so she was like, do you guys want to come check it out? And blah, blah, blah. And it ended up working out. And so, you know, it was like one of those things. Like, I don't know if either one of you ever bought a house, but it's like you were like, oh, I want to look at a house. And then 3 months later, you feel like you're signing paperwork. Like, it happens so fast.
Yeah.
And we just opened the gym, and then the space next door ended up being available. And so we decided to put the office space for girls powerlift over there. So it's kind of nice because we're neighbors.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's all in one central location. So where is it? In Port St. Lucie? Is that what you said?
Yep, it's Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do like Broken to Barbell on the road eventually. So maybe we'll come visit you guys.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So for our followers, do you have like a day pass, or what are your rates for Iron Knight Gym?
It's $39 for right now. We're actually in the process of expanding it. So right now it's $39 a month, for the powerlifting side. And then a day pass is $10. It is 24-hour access.
That's awesome.
All of our members get a code. And so we actually don't have, it's just me and my husband, and we have one other, our gym manager is our only other employee. So we take appointments. If you do want a day pass, just let us know. But it's $10 a day. Your first lift is free.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty reasonable.
Does your husband or you, do you do personal training at all? Or are you still working on maybe looking into hiring personal trainers for the gym? Or
Yeah, my husband does programming, and he's a pretty hands-on powerlifting. He doesn't like to be called a coach because he says he hasn't earned it yet. Uh-huh. So he does programming, and he's pretty hands-on. Most of all of his clients are members, and so he's pretty hands-on with them. So I'll say he does personal training. Nice. But it's mostly powerlifting, and then we have, like I said, their gym manager does personal training. He does powerlifting programming. And we just expanded to the other bay. And so we're going to be offering classes and more personal training because it's all like conditioning type stuff on that side.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you compete, right?
I do compete.
Yeah. And so when was your first competition?
My first meet was in February 2016. It was in Tampa, Florida. It was called Battle of the Bay 2.
Cool.
So how'd it go? Tell us about it. How did you feel? Were you nervous? Like,
oh, I was nervous as heck. I never wanted to compete initially. And then before starting Girls Powerlift, I was like, I don't need to compete. Like, I don't want to wear a singlet. That's stupid. and then I decided once I started Girls Powerlift, I was like, okay, well, I can't call myself a powerlifter until I compete. So I decided to compete. And then I was nervous. And then it's like with anything else, like once that first squat is done, then it just, you know, it's all fun from there. I did, I think I went 8 for 9. I missed one bench. My best friend at the time was competing at the same meet and she ended up hurting herself and we were in the same flight. She was like 2 people ahead of me and she hurt herself on the bench. So, my husband literally had to pick her up off the bench and carry her off the stage.
Oh my gosh.
And, and so he was like, just pick your next attempt. And I was very new still. So I kind of YOLO'd it and I picked an attempt that was way too heavy for me. So needless to say, I did not get my third attempt bench, but everything else went really well. And I had a lot of fun and then I realized that I really liked competing. So I've done 4 meets since then.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what federation do you lift in?
I lift in USBA.
Okay, cool. That's the same one I just did.
Yeah.
And so what's the other one? USAPL?
USAPL, US, there's so many. There's RPS, APF, okay. And that's just around here. So I'm not really sure. There's so many federations powerlifting.
So do you have another meet on the horizon or you just kind of training right now?
Yeah, right now I'm doing, I just became a USPA referee.
Nice.
So I'm a state ref. Yeah, I'm a Florida state ref now. So I kind of want to focus on that. And then with our members and stuff, it's just hard to, it's difficult balancing them and my own training. And so I'm kind of just doing, I'm still training, obviously, because otherwise I'd go insane. But I don't really have anything on the horizon. I kind of just want to focus on my business and my members and all that stuff. So I'm hoping to be ready because we usually do a meet in November. So I'm hoping to do that, but I'm not really like nothing solidified at the moment.
So for your meets, how long do you do a prep? Like 14 weeks out, 16 weeks out? Like when do you kind of like dial it all in? Or are you just training like super hard the whole time?
No. actually, that's one of my, like, 2018, like, resolutions is to train consistently, even if I don't have a meet, because I'm really bad about it. But I usually try to, my prep is usually 9 to 12 weeks, and I know that sounds, like, really short, but it's just because usually there's so many other things going on in my life that 9 to 12 weeks is what I can, like, what I can do. And it never fails. Whenever I have a meet, something happens. I've gotten the flu twice. I've gotten pneumonia and it's all within meet prep. So I try and give myself, you know, a shorter amount of time than like 16 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's usually, I think the last time I competed, it was 12 weeks. And the time before that, I think it was a solid like 8 weeks. And I trained all the way up until the meet. And I kind of just said, hey, let's just have fun and see what happens.
So
I'm a terrible powerlifter.
So my coach has said like he won't take on any clients that come to him within 6 weeks of the meet. So I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Like my last, this last, preparing for my first meet, I think I started like 15 weeks out and it was, I think, too much. So, so I'm gearing
up. It kind of depends too. Like, cause I know like for my husband, like when he does programming, if they're that far out, like he'll just kind of see where they're at and then he'll give them a deload and then really start prep. So he'll still, you know, he considers it meet prep, but, you know, he'll give them a deload in between and then go hard for like 12 weeks. Usually 12 weeks is what you like.
Yeah. So for mine, when I say like 15 weeks out, that's when I really dialed in my diet. Like I stuck to my plan. I added cardio daily, 5 days a week. So like normally I would only do cardio on the days that I lift. So like Monday, Wednesday, Friday is when I lift. But for that prep, I just dialed it all in and threw all that in there. But for this next one, I think I'm not going to go as long.
Yeah. Was this your first meet?
Yes. Last Saturday was my first one.
Oh, that's exciting.
And so I just registered yesterday for my next one in July.
So it's just addicting.
Cranking them out. But it'll keep me on track. And but yeah, I'm definitely, after that first meet on Saturday, like that afternoon, I was like, okay, I'm just going to take a breather. Like it's done.
Yeah.
I can eat some pizza. I can drink some pop. You know, like I can be unhealthy for a minute. And then 5 days later, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do another one.
It's addicting. I tell people all the time, it took me 2 years to actually do my first meet. And then once I did it, I'm like, all right, I'm ready for another one.
Yeah. I mean, it's that feeling when you're up there it's indescribable. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just a totally different world when you're competing. Yep.
It is.
We'll see what happens on this next one. But so for your, for your first one, I was really trying not to focus on the numbers. So I had this 400-pound deadlift in my head for a very long time. And I kept, like, people at my gym were like, you're going to get it. You're going to crush it. And, like, I think I got too hyped up. So did you have any expectations going into your first one, or did you just want to get a total?
For my first one, I didn't have any number expectations. I had actually, like I said, every time I decide to do a meet, something happens. So for my first meet, I was, that's the first time I got the flu.
Oh.
And it was probably like 4 weeks out, I got the flu. And then, so then after that, it was just about getting a total. Okay. I really just wanted a total. I wanted to be able to just compete and I wanted to do it, you know, without getting hurt or anything like that. So I try not to do that, like, number expectations, because you just never know. And then it's, you know, it's strategic. You have to make sure that you're not putting, like, this last meet that I just did, I really wanted a 300-pound squat. That's all I wanted. I wanted a 300-pound squat. And literally, that's all I got. It was probably one of, like, my worst meets, but at the same time, one of my funnest meets, because I went 3 for 3 in my squat. I got my squat was a 303-pound squat. And then after that, I think I went 2 for 3 on every other lift. And I felt terrible. Like, I was like, it literally drained the life out of me. So I've done meets where I've gone 9 for 9. I've gone, you know, where I didn't really have it. That was my goal, was to just do 9 for 9. And you kind of sandbag a little bit just because you're like, you know, I want to be able to save it for, you know, the deadlift. And I hate deadlifting. So I have to save some energy for deadlifts, because otherwise I'll just do one and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah. So I'm the opposite. I just wanted to get to the deadlifts. So like that first squat, I was so nervous. And then like I got through it, got my second one, PR'd on my second one, and then missed my third one. But I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I made it through that first one. Cause like I had to go to two meets to psych myself up to compete myself. And so the first meet I went to, I watched a girl bomb out on squats, and I didn't realize if you don't hit a squat, you can't go on. So like that was like my come to Jesus moment. I'm like, all right, we're going to hit parallel on everything now. You can't even risk that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think I needed to see that happen to really like light a fire.
Yeah. That's what we always encourage people. If you're like, you know, on the fence of doing, even if you have done a meet, go to a meet before you do your first, just because it is a little like, it's crazy. Like it is a little chaotic, and you know, some people, everybody competes a little bit differently. But it is fun to like go to a meet and kind of get that fire lit under your butt before you do your own meet.
And it really is like, you can't tell what it's like from an Instagram video. So
no,
So like I always try to like put myself in these places before I've even been there. And so whenever I actually went to the meet last summer, I went to one to cheer on my team. It was totally different than anything I expected. And like I had a whole dude crew with me this past weekend. I had three of my guys with me, like staying in the hotel. Tanner, one of them.
hashtag dude crew.
Like my whole family was there and they all traveled like 4.5 hours to get there. Like it was not a close meet at all.
Yeah.
So like having all of them there, it was cool and it like really kept me like psyched and pumped up. And then after the meet, my brother, who is like 6'6", skinny, like he lifts, but he's like this tall, lanky dude. He was like, wow, that was really cool. Like, I think I kind of want to get into that.
Yeah.
And like, my boyfriend said the same thing and like my buddies said the same thing. And like Tanner was even like, wow,
I want to do it.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
It's what happens because it's funny. My sister-in-law is doing a meet in June. She's doing the Jen Rothinger Women's Empowerment Meet, which is like one of the only all women's meets in that's part of the U.S.
That's awesome.
And so she actually went to our local meet. She was actually running my booth. I was like, hey, can you just do me a favor? And she fell in love with it. She was like, I'm going to do a meet. And so we were like, okay. So she started programming and she's just from being there. Like she had never had interest in doing powerlifting at all and just going to a meet in November. Then she was like, I'm doing a meet. Let's do it.
That's awesome.
We're like, okay.
So another thing with the meets, like what scared me the most were the commands. And my coach like had us practice them, thank God, because otherwise I totally would have jumped the commands. And that's what I was so worried about on that first one. I'm like, just wait for them to say squat, wait for them to say rack. So it was like that piece of it alone ties in a whole nother mental game on meet day. Because you're not even like, and then when I finished that first squat, I was like, I don't even remember if I listened to the commands, like, because it was just, it was all a blur, because you're working towards that for so long, and then it's like, you get there, and your mind is just...
You hype, you're elsewhere. So excited.
Yeah.
We've seen people that forget to, like, you know, clip their lever belts before a deadlift, and we're like, how did you even do that? Like, you do that all the time, but you have so much excitement, like, your adrenaline's going that you just, like, you forget everything.
So in this meet last week, we were watching the big dudes lift after us, and this one kid, I think he benched like 450, and he actually screamed easy weight on the way up, and then racked. He racked before they said rack, so it didn't count, and I'm like, no! Like, that's like...
Yeah, my first meet we watched this girl, I mean, she was probably... Actually, I think she was a master's, so she was like in her 40s, and she lifted, I think it was like a 400-pound deadlift when 400-pound deadlift wasn't like a cool thing to do. Like it wasn't, I swear, every year that I powerlift, it's like the numbers get higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
So this was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and so she was in her 40s, and she's doing a deadlifting almost 400, and she just slammed the weight at the top of it. Like she let it go and like threw the bar and literally the whole crowd was screaming. And then all of a sudden you hear, oh, because you know, you're like, why would you do that? Like it doesn't count now, all of that work, and it doesn't even count.
Yeah. That would be the worst. So
she just let it go at the top.
Yeah. You're not allowed to drop it.
Yeah. You have to bring it down.
Yeah. And so that's what I see the difference between powerlifting and CrossFit. Cause in CrossFit, they're like, they pick them up and just drop them, like slam them down. But they're also using bumper plates, so it's not a big deal. But in my gym, our coach is like, we do not drop weights here no matter what. We don't slam anything. Like there's like a jiu-jitsu gym below us. He's like, we are not disrespecting them. Like no matter what, you lower those weights down gently.
Well, it's the technique of the game too, you know? Like,
and he always says
like whatever you do in prep is how you're going to perform on the platform. So if you get used to, like, even like with a bench, like if you get used to touch and go, then you're going to forget that pause, or you're not even going to know how to pause at the, you know, on your chest, because you're so used to just touching and going. So it's like, however you compete is how you should be in the gym.
Yeah, exactly. And thankfully our coach has us wear our singlet like 3 weeks out from the meet so we can get used to it. Cause like that was a big thing for me. The first time that I wore it in the gym, it was deadlift day. And like my gym's full of a bunch of guys. And so I'm like, oh my God, like I look terrible in this singlet. Like I don't want anyone to see me. So I was like crouched. Yeah. I was like crouched down behind the weights. And my coach Ryan was like, get over here. Like you got to get through this. right now. Yeah, like everyone there is going to be in a singlet, so just suck it up. You'll be fine. And then by the last week, I'm like, all right, this is whatever. Like, it's just another piece of equipment that you have to wear.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have deadlifts. We have a singlet parties like 3 weeks out.
That's actually awesome.
Next week is a singlet party because all the guys are going to be competing. They're like 2 weeks out right now, so we're going to have a singlet party next week.
And you had a meet at your gym last Saturday, I think, a push-pull meet?
Yeah, we had a charity meet at our gym on Saturday. It was a push-pull meet. It was for like affordable housing or attainable housing in our area.
That's awesome. So yeah, not only do you have your own gym and your own company, but you do things to give back to the community, which is great. So I know we talked a little bit about your husband powerlifting, but like, do you have your family in Florida? Or are they pretty supportive of your business and your dream? And you said, I know you mentioned your sister-in-law helps out, but just tell us a little bit about like the support system that you have.
So obviously my husband is like a huge support system, best friend. And, you know, we pretty much do everything together. As far as like my outside family, it's kind of funny, like, they're supportive in word and thought, but they don't really understand what we do.
Okay.
you know, they're from the culture of, you know, you go to work every day, you have your 9-to-5, and then that's what you do. So when we decided to start our own business, they were both my mom and my husband's parents were like, are you guys sure you want to do this? Like, not very stable. And so, like I said, it's an interesting kind of, it's an interesting relationship that we have. Like they, especially like my husband's family, my mom is incredibly supportive. Like she was actually at the meet on Saturday and like she ended up helping me out. So I had to teach her a lot about powerlifting and just being there. She's like, oh, I want to get strong. I want to do this now. And so she's, and my brother is into, my brother does Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. And so he thinks it's pretty cool that I'm involved in a sports, but we're not particularly close. He lives in D.C.
Okay.
And so, so my husband's family, like, you know, they're kind of like always they're worriers. So they're always like, are you guys sure? Like, this how's business, blah, blah, blah. Like, are you making money? And we're like, it's not really like we did not open a gym to make money. Like, because there's really no money in it until it gets to a certain point. But, you know, they're supportive in word and thought. They just sometimes I don't think they really get it, you know.
Yeah. So your family's local to you then? Your mom?
My mom lives here. My dad still lives in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and then my brother lives in D.C. Husband's family, his immediate family lives here.
So how you said that your mom doesn't really understand it. So like the week leading up to the meet, my mom is my biggest supporter, like hands down. Shout out Kath.
That's
awesome.
But she so like the week leading up to the meet, she was asking me so many questions like, "So, can you get like first place?" And I'm like, "Mom, it goes by by weight classes. Like there's not a lot of girls, so like I'm in the super heavyweight class and it was just me and one other girl." And so like I was trying to explain to her like how that works. And then she's like, "So like can you get best deadlift and can you get best bench?" And I'm like, "No, it goes by weight class." And then she's like, "And do you like place among the guys?" And I'm like, "No, but in this meet actually I was in a flight with guys, so that was interesting." Because there wasn't a lot of men up to 181, so like the first flight was all women and then the second flight was like the bigger girls and then and then the lightweight guys. So that was interesting to be like intermixed with them. But yeah, like my family really didn't understand it aside from I send my brother. I send my brother all my lifting videos and he'll be like, "Wow, that's insane. Like you're so strong and all this stuff." But like until they went to the meet, they really didn't understand what it was about. Like same with Tanner and like I constantly am sending all my friends like all these lifting videos like, "Guys, look at my form. Like how's it look?" And they're like, "Good." You know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I definitely seen your meet just you know, that's now okay. Like now I feel like I understand it just so much more having seen it in action.
Yeah.
For sure. And then but I did like that you did get your little medal.
Yeah, so I got it my second place medal, 2 out of 2.
I know. That was the same thing as my first meet. There was only another, there was one other person in my weight class, and I was like, "Yeah, got a medal." And
I wasn't even sure.
By default.
Yeah. So I wasn't even sure if I would get a medal for second place, but the girl that was in my weight class benched 216 pounds, and my bench is like very weak. So I benched 110 in the meet, and so I'm like, this girl is in a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
Like, my squats were heavier than hers, and so were my deadlifts, but like that bench, man, I was like,
yeah,
she is.
But you know what though, all of that matters. It's a marathon. There's I remember one of my meets, this girl, her openers were heavier than like my third attempt.
Yeah.
But they were so heavy that she ended up bombing out.
Oh,
because
man.
She couldn't hit depth, and I felt terrible for her, but I'm like, you know, people don't understand that, like, at a meet, it's such a different, like, you don't have your controlled environment, like, it's such a different environment that you do kind of have to play it safe just to make sure you get in the meet, and so sometimes, like, just because they're stronger than you does not mean that they're going to win, like, it's a marathon.
And so on that, too, because I have this ritual when I do heavy squats, well, any squats, really, where I walk up to the bar and I like roll it into my hands. Like I just, I have to do it like twice. So, so at the meet, I went up there to do that and it was a brand new bar. So there was no rolling and I'm like, like it's not moving. Okay. So I was like, let me just readjust. But I didn't have my ritual. So I'm like, so like, just like you said, it's not in your controlled environment. It's not what you're used to. So, and like, I don't, the whole stage fright piece of it too. Cause like, I don't like to present. I don't like to talk in front of people. Which is probably why we have a podcast.
It's much safer here behind the microphone.
And not a video blog on YouTube. But like being up there, everyone's like, well, just don't look at the people in the crowd. But on my third deadlift, there was a camera, there was phones up, like a million. I could see like 100 phones out in the crowd. I'm like, oh my God, like the pressure's on.
That was your, what was it? Your dude squad?
My
dude squad. Oh. We're all there with our phones and cameras.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And like my,
it's funny. We have, like, a really good relationship with the Florida chairman of USPA, Rich Fika. Shout out. He's probably one of the most amazing humans you'll ever meet in your life. And he, every time I step on the platform, he says, this is the owner of Girls Proud. And I'm like, crap.
That's
so much pressure.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like, it's great, but it's so much pressure for me. And I'm, like, a really emotional person.
Yeah.
And so I literally always, like, tear up every time he says that.
Oh,
and
that's, I'm like, awesome, it's, though.
It's, like, my first squat, and I'm like, the pressure's on anyway, and then you say that, and I'm like, I'm gonna let everyone down.
And now you go to brand, now you go to brand me with my hashtag.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
So
real quick, like on that emotional piece, whenever I got to the 402 deadlift, because that's all I could think about was like getting through my 385, getting to that 402. I told my coach leading up to the meet, I'm like, I'm going to cry if I get that 402 and I'm going to cry if I don't, like just prepare for tears. So the minute, like, and you can see it in the video too of it. Like the minute I set it down, it was like Kim K cry face. Cause I didn't get it. They called me for hitching and I was just like instantly bawling for probably a good 10 minutes. And well,
that's, we were all staying on the one side of the gym while you went to the other. I was like, let's just give her a minute before we go talk to her.
I was like, yeah, I knew it was going to happen. Like just an emotional terrorist. But, so then I was like, I had to go outside cause I was so upset. And, and this guy that was the biggest, he actually won best male lifter that day. He got his 2000 pound raw total that day. Came up to me and was like, dude, don't be upset, like you crushed it. He was like,
yeah,
I didn't see a hitch, don't beat yourself up. He's like, you'll get it next time. I'm like, all right, thanks, dude.
Next time the 402 will be easy.
So like all my post meet pictures are like tear stained. I'm like very, very upset. But then it took me like 12 hours to let it sink in and be like, wow, that was your first meet, like you actually did really good. Calm down. But like
it
you
happens.
Said
like I think that your adrenaline gets so high that like you just can't help it, you know, like whatever happens.
Yeah. Well,
you had 3 to 6 months of emotions behind that moment too.
Very true. So I have here that with the Instagram following, like, how, just talk a little bit about how you deal with the negativity, because I've seen it on everything. Like people comment and be like, oh, well, that's nice, but the form sucks. You know what I mean? And it's like, how do you spin that and turn it into a positive, or do you delete those comments, or just talk a little bit about that?
So I used to be really big on, like, deleting and unfollowing people who do that. But in the recent past, we kind of have stopped deleting it. We kind of let people either say what they want to say. Like, if it's your particular video and you want to, like, come back and say, well, my form was crap because it was like a max lift, and usually that happens, or yeah, no, I'm aware of it and I'm working on it, or anything like that. I think that with an Instagram page like we have, like, it is about communication, and it is about, like, the dialogue and discussion. Now, if people are, like, nasty, like, we recently, I don't know about recently, maybe like a couple weeks ago, posted, like, a 72-year-old woman who deadlifted, and it was, I think she deadlifted like 125 pounds or something like that, and she had, like, a, lower back rounding, and you're kind of like, someone commented, like, oh, but her form's terrible, and you just want to be like, bro, like, she's 72 years old.
Yeah,
Like,
like,
it doesn't matter what her form looks like, she's deadlifting.
Yeah, like, get out of here.
So if it's something like that, or if it's someone that wants to comment on children, like, a kid deadlifting or something like that, or, lifting in general, then those things will delete. I try my best to keep Girls of Power Lift a positive space for people to go to and find inspiration. And, I think we've been doing this for so long that people kind of know that. And if you don't like that, we delete your comments, or that, we kind of, like, won't let it go on too far, because I'm not a fan of just leaving things there and, like, letting people argue and be nasty, because then it turns into you're taking away from this really awesome thing that someone did, and you're making it about you, and you're making it about your argument. So
Yeah,
I think that people don't do it as much as they used to.
well, I hardly ever see critics on your page, but, like, powerlifting motivation, I see a lot of, like, very
Yeah,
rude
they don't really
comments.
admin. They don't really admin very well.
Yeah, so, like, it's not so much your page. I guess that was more of, like, a question,
Yeah.
like, across the board on Instagram, because, like, I just see people go nuts on in the comments on posts on that page, and I'm just like, sometimes I feel like they post stuff just to, like, bait people to comment.
For sure they do. Yeah.
And how, and then they'll repost, like, rude memes, and it's like, come on, man, like, are you really being for the people here, or are you just trying
Yeah.
to get people on your page? So, like,
Yeah.
but no, I don't want to bash them, but
No mansplaining allowed.
so yeah, so, and then I have your that Girls Who Powerlift has an ambassador program. So how do women go about, like, applying for that, or do you pick women based on, like, how they're doing in powerlifting, or just give a little background on the ambassador program?
So our ambassador program, is we kind of, like, hesitated on doing it for a while because I didn't want it to just be about, like, sales. And so I really wanted it to be another form of highlighting women who are, a part of the community and a positive part of the community. So with our ambassador program, we actually pay for, we give them a stipend for travel and for their meet registration, things like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then we also, they obviously get clothes, things like that, but we, we don't ask them, we don't have, codes or anything like that, just because, like I said, I didn't want it to be about I didn't want it to be about sales. Like, I wanted it to be another space for us to be able to highlight women who are really doing something in the sport. So all of our ambassadors, we have actually asked them when we tap them on the shoulder, about becoming an ambassador. And they're all referees in the sport. They all, either do meets or help out with meets. They volunteer at meets. I think one of them has an elite total. Sarah Brenner is one of our ambassadors. She's got an elite total. And the rest of them, I think, except for Addie, but all the rest of them are either coaches or referees in different federations, things like that. So we really try to highlight just women who have a positive voice in powerlifting.
That's awesome. And so, real quick, Addie is the little girl, correct?
Yeah.
So, give us a little backstory on her. I've just recently seen a couple of the posts around her.
Addie is actually Addie and her mom are both ambassadors. Her mom is a USGA certified coach, and they actually own Arizona Elite. Her and her husband own Arizona Elite Strength, which is a powerlifting gym in Yuma, Arizona.
Okay.
So they're really big in the community of powerlifting, and they started their kids started powerlifting with them. I think their middle son started going to a, you know, when they used to go to a commercial gym, or their middle son started going to a commercial gym with them. And then Addie was just interested in it. And so they decided to start, you know, training her. But she wasn't allowed at their gym because of her age. I think she was like 7 at the time. And then, maybe 8. And then, so they bought her own equipment. So she's got like a little pink Rogue, barbell, and she's got like weights and stuff like that. And she had her own little stand in their garage, and they used to train her in their garage. And she just, I mean, if you've ever seen her videos, if you don't follow her, it's, her Instagram is at Addie Bird Lifts. So she's just so much fun. Like, she's so much fun to watch, and she's so freaking strong for not even just for her age, just in general. I mean, you know, I think her last meet, she's PR'd all of her squat, her attempts in general, all of her lifts is what I meant to say. And she's just, the way that her voice is, has always been positive. Like, she always tries to encourage other little girls to get into lifting. And, you know, people who meet her dad just did a meet in Vegas, and people, you know, would walk up to her, and she encourages every single person that she meets. And that's just her spirit. Like, she's just such a like positive person, and she's just like a bright light in powerlifting. And so when we kind of like, we saw her and we found her, her mom would tag us and stuff. And, you know, we actually would chat with her on the phone and stuff. And she's just like, you can definitely tell that, like, she loves powerlifting, and she is our future. Like, little Addie is our future.
That's awesome. So how old is she right now?
She is 9.
9. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
There was.
Yeah. She just did her second meet too.
There was a 13-year-old boy at your meet, Carly. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that guy's killing it.
He was in my flight. Yeah. 13-year-old.
That's crazy.
It's just amazing that kids that young are getting involved in it. And I wish I would have found it before I did. So whenever I got involved, it was actually because I was following this girl on Instagram, and I think you probably follow her. Her handle's Progress Not Perfection, Kara Cable.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So she works out at my gym.
Oh, nice.
And that's what made me want to join Sally's, was just following her journey into powerlifting. And so it's really cool how this has all been just like a big, like you said, it really is all about the community, and there are powerlifters everywhere, and I love that it's growing to what it is. Mm-hmm. So do you have anything else that you want to add for us today?
No, I think we've kind of talked about everything.
We can't thank you enough for coming on. This was one of my favorite ones, obviously, because I'm in it. but yeah, we really appreciate you coming on. And I'm going to I'll shoot you a text. I want to get your like T-shirt size and whatnot, because we're going to order you a shirt in our clothing order that we're doing right now. And then I'll ship it to your house down in Florida as a thank you for coming on. And then this will be up on iTunes probably within a day or so.
Yeah, these go up pretty quick.
Okay, cool.
So
no, thank you guys for honestly like what you're doing. I mean, I love the idea behind it, and like, you know, discussing mental health, because I think that's such a, like, I don't know, it can be a stigma, but also when you're bringing light to it in a way, like, it's such a, I think that it affects a lot of people, and more people that realize. So you guys bringing light to it in a positive way, I think is really cool.
It's such a difficult topic too, because of the stigma behind it. You know, it's hard to break that barrier and talk about it openly and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
And I think it's these little things, that hobbies that turn into passions, that turn into in some cases careers, that can be very helpful to people to have that kind of outlet and that constructive ability to do those things.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so for any of our listeners, if you want to check out Ivy, you want to plug your Instagram handle?
It's my Instagram handle is at Girls Who Powerlift, and you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook. Also, our website, which has blogs. Excuse me, my voice just cracked. We've got the blog on www.girlswhopowerlift.com, and also our retail shop is on the same website.
Yes, check out their clothing, because it's my favorite. It's very comfy. I wear that powerlifting versus everybody like every single day.
Oh, it's my favorite gym shirt of all time.
Yeah, I love it. That one, and then I just got the Try and Stop Me one, and I can't stop wearing that either. So
Yeah, that's like another, that's like our second like meet day shirt. So you can wear it under your singlet and you can still kind of see it. Like,
yeah.
Through.
Yeah, I love it. And their clothing's super comfy. And I think you guys do what, like a rotating type inventory with it?
Yeah, well, we don't do a whole lot of restocks. We do some of our like, some of our most popular, like the powerlifting versus everybody, like our popular designs, we will restock from time to time, just kind of randomly, but we try and keep our designs new and fresh, and we don't really have a set date and time. We do have a new release coming next week, or this coming week, so stay tuned for that, and then,
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Ivy. We can't thank you enough for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So that was Ivy Knight. That was really awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking with her. That was very cool.
So I think that meet was awesome. And then hearing from her too, hearing her business ventures and stuff like that, that's, I don't know, it's cool. It's something that I don't really think about us doing.
Yeah.
But like, look where she started, and yeah, then these things just kind of start to gain momentum. It's cool. It's an interesting thing to think about.
And
it's exciting.
It's very cool to hear the like the behind the scenes of it. So like, just I follow a Girls Who Powerlift for a very long time, and like I just recently started following Ivy, and like I wouldn't know the behind the scenes stuff that she just went through for all of us. So I think that was very cool to hear her side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, guys, thanks for listening. I mean, it's always cool when we get these interviews too, to have this whole new perspective brought into us about what they do and what we do, and that, you know, synergy.
Yeah, and the timing.
Can I use a business word?
The timing couldn't be better. Coming off my first meet.
Yeah.
For this one personally, we've got a lot of exciting ones lined up. This year, for next month, we're going to be interviewing Tom Dewar from Pittsburgh Fitness Project, and he owns his own gym in Lawrenceville in Pittsburgh, and I'm excited about that one too. And then just stay tuned, check out our social media. We'll keep highlighting our upcoming interviews for the remainder of this year.
Yeah.
And one last thing, our pre-order for clothing ends next Friday, April 6th, so give us a little bit of time for the turnaround on that. And then
And I can't stress enough, too, that when you guys buy shirts or crew necks or hoodies, I feel bad sometimes. I feel like I'm a skeezy salesman. But really, the money we make from those things we put right back into the podcast. It pays for our website hosting, our domain name, our audio hosting. And honestly, doing the numbers, we only have a little tiny bit left over that usually goes into upgrading equipment, doing what, maybe giving away some stuff, some giveaways is the extra money we make.
So we have never once pocketed any of the money that we've made from anything. Like it goes directly back into the podcast. Like I think the last time around we used some of the profit from our last clothing sale on stickers. So then we sent stickers to people that give us reviews on iTunes, which by the way, subscribe, give us a review.
And if we forgot about you, slide into our DMs. We'll get you some stickers.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, guys. And we've recently become affiliates with a couple different companies. Blue Apron is one, which is the meal kit delivery service. Another one is Thrive Market, so you can like order groceries online through Thrive. And we will put both of those links in the show notes for this podcast. Yeah.
And on our homepage, I think it's going to say support, or support us is what I have it right now. Right now, if you go there's nothing there. But we'll get in there and we'll get that stuff there so you guys can check it out. And then
one more thing I keep forgetting. Bowl for Kids' Sake next Saturday. So we have to raise $600 as a team, which goes directly back to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh. The money from Bowl for Kids' Sake goes completely back to the matches. None of it is going towards Big Brothers Big Sisters. It's always going back directly to the mentoring matches and helping to pay for those mentoring programs. So if
you
could,
the kids in the community.
Yeah. So if you could. We have like, I think $93 left till we hit our $600 goal. Woo. So we have to hit that $600 to be able to bowl, which I'll make up the difference if we don't. But we really appreciate all of you supporting us. We can't thank you enough. And get your clothing orders in if you would be so kind.
Yeah. We also, we're just going to keep going. We got that really cool shout out on the Incline.
Yes.
Is the Incline new?
No.
okay, I've never heard of it before. And then, of course, now that it's on my radar, I'm like, oh, cool.
Oh, but, I troll the Incline so hard. I think I found them on Twitter originally, like just someone retweeting them. So the Incline's like a Pittsburgh popular news outlet. And one of our prior interviews, Beth Skorecki, they tweeted like, these are the up and coming podcast and like the podcast to listen to in Pittsburgh. And she tweeted at them and was like, hey, you forgot Broken to Barbell. And so they edited their article and added us to the list.
And
so,
put us in, yeah.
So we got a shout out on there. So guys, it's coming. It's happening.
It's the zeitgeist. But thanks again, guys, for listening. Thanks for ordering shirts in our clothing sale / desperate plea for fundraising dollars.
And as always, you can follow us at Broken to Barbell on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
We're just dipping our feet into the Twitter scene.
Yeah.
And then you can follow Tanner at Tanner B. Rose.
Rose. Bros.
And I'm Carly Koff. And like Ivy said, Girls Who Powerlift is her company. And then we'll put her personal handle and her gym handle in the show notes.
What is, and what's Sam's? Yeah. Is it, like, I always
think
forget.
It's at _ Samantha Lutz, but I don't want to.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's at @SamanthaLutz_. Sorry, backwards on the underscore.
Yeah. And congrats on baby Cannon.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Guys. I think that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
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 See ya.